Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Thank you, sir. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to be reading out of, studying out of Acts chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, go ahead and look under your seats. There should be one for you. If you don't have one and you want one, wave us down. We'll take care of you. Or you can go ahead and watch the screen. Acts chapter 1, we're going to be beginning at verse 1. It says this. It says, in my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, or he was gathered with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard of me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? That's a very important part. You want to hold on to that. Verse 7, and Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen to that. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, our hearts are open to receive today. Our hearts are open to receive your infallible, inspired word. And Father, we want to receive from you so that our minds and our hearts can be full of grace, of faith, and truth. Father, guide our steps today. Give us clarity of who you're calling us to be. Help us to be reminded of the greatest purpose, which is your purpose. Help us to be reminded of the greatest plan, which is your plan. And help us to be servants of your purpose and of your plan in our lives. Help us to be better at serving what you want to accomplish through us, what you want to accomplish throughout our church. I pray that this sermon series gives us fresh vision of where you want us to go. Before we can know where we're going, we have to establish who we are today. So help us to be able to see that. Help us to be able to do that. I pray that you speak to someone today in such a way that just that makes them want to say, Lord, I want to follow you better. I pray that you do great things because you are the great one. It's in your son's perfect name is who I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, give it up for the worship team one more time. Give it up for the worship team. Give it up. Well, good morning, guys. Welcome, welcome. So today, we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series, and the title is When God Builds the Church. When God Builds the Church. We were excited for this sermon series because it's sort of a vision cast sermon series. What's a vision cast sermon series? Well, the idea is for us as a church congregation to have a better understanding of where God is leading us. Because I don't know if you know this, church, and I've already talked about it a little bit, and it's been evident for the last several weeks, but God's got big plans for our church, y'all. He's got big plans, and hey, thank you. There's one excited Christian today. Y'all gonna make me work today, huh? Oh, gosh. But God's got big plans for our church. And what we want to do is we want to seek God's heart to see where God is leading us. Because there's one thing God desires is to reveal his great purpose, right? But as I said in my prayer and kind of the theme of this series is for us to realize that before we know where we're going, we got to establish who we are today. Right? Before we get to that destination that God is calling us to go to, we need to establish an identity of who we are today. So we're going to be studying through the some portions in the book of Acts. Acts is nothing but a New Testament letter highlighting the early church, how the church got started, how 2,000 years ago, a few men and women got together, and what started then is continuing now, right? And there was something obviously that they did that God blessed, and what we're going to be looking at is a couple themes that really stick out to us to help us to see what it takes for God to build the church. Because what I want us to do in this sermon series, and I just want to lay out all my cards up front. What I want to do in this sermon series is that you and I don't get so comfortable with our Christianity. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is we wouldn't just define Christianity as just coming to church on Sunday, right? That our Christianity wouldn't just be defined to listening to an hour and a half sermon by a guy every single week screaming and sweating, talking about God knows what. That our Christianity would be more than just something we say, but it's truly the rhythm of our hearts, right? Because if we're not careful, we would just think that church is just something we do, but rather we're going to see church is what God has called me to do, if that makes sense, right? So church is more than a place that I go to. Church is meant for, it's something God has called me to be more and more in my life. So that's what we're going to do, and I'm excited for this series. But before we jump into our passage in Acts chapter 1, I played travel basketball. I told you guys about all my glory days. The reason why I tell you that is so you can start to feel nice towards me and be like, you know what? He hasn't always been a short guy. He's been he was once an athlete, you know. He was the 30 pounds lighter, but, you know, that's a story for another day. And I'll never forget, we were playing travel basketball. We had a tournament in Kentucky, and we're playing this team from New York, upstate New York. And we're playing this team, and, you know, the game gets started, and it started off rough for us as a team. We didn't have the best start. Our coach couldn't make the necessary changes for us to get the advantage and to start winning and whatnot. And so halftime, you know, comes up, and at halftime, we were down 47 points. Yep, some of you are shaking your head like, yeah, you guys must have sucked. Yeah, yes, don't worry about that. We were down 47 points, and, you know, all of us, we're all looking at each other in the locker room like it's over with. We might as well just wait for this time to pass, and it makes no sense for us to even try. Let's just call it quits, and then in comes our coach. And if you ever played sports, you ever had a very intense coach before? You ever had one, Dave? It's just a very intense. He was intense for no reason. He'll be intense in the McDonald's parking lot. Like, it was just, bro, we just going to get some nuggets. Like, what are you doing? And he comes in and he storms in and he's like, men, you guys are playing terrible. You are the worst bunch of kids I've ever coached in my life. It's funny, like, all right, are you motivating us? Like, you know, you're just tearing us down. But, you know, he's just saying all these things. And he gave this grand speech. I mean, after a little while of yelling, he starts saying inspiring things. He's like, this is the moment you guys can show your greatness. This is the moment you guys can do great things. You have to do what you need to do. And he's saying words that I'm not going to say here on stage, but he's just giving this motivating speech. And I remember all the players, we looked at each other, high-fiving, chest bumping. We're like, let's go do it. Coach is right. We're better than this. And we lost by 61 points after that. But, you know, you know, it's, you know what? Great effort, coach. But what I love about that moment, what I remember specifically about that moment was the coach motivating us, right? And in that time, and in that moment, he was trying to give us a sense of what we need to do, right? Right, because some of us, we need a little bit of motivation, right? We sometimes, you know, we try to motivate ourselves, and we're not very good at motivating ourselves. I mean, maybe you are, but then next you know, you see someone on TV, and next you know, you're sitting down for the next hour, you get distracted. But sometimes we need someone to come in and to tell us, hey, let's get it together. Sometimes we need somebody to walk into the room and say, you're better than this. Right, sometimes we need that type of encouragement, and I feel like that's a beautiful thing. But here's what we're going to see today in the passage that we're reading is Jesus giving one of the greatest motivational speeches ever. And what Jesus is going to call these disciples, or soon to be apostles, and what Jesus is going to call them to do is more than just a momentary work, but an eternal work. And what Jesus is going to teach us today is that he's calling us as well, because the Bible is active and living, right? Yes, it was written thousands of years ago, but it still has an impact on us today. And Jesus is going to call us to a mission that has eternal impact, right? Right, right. What Jesus is going to do today, he's going to call you and I that at the end of the day, when you get out of your bed in the morning, when your feet hit the ground, when you wipe the crust out of your eyes, when you brush your teeth, before you even get out of your car, he has called you to make much of an impact in this world today. If you are a follower of Jesus, it doesn't matter if you've been following him for a week. Doesn't matter if you've been following for the last 25 years, 30 years, or maybe even longer. He has called you to make an impact, but not just an impact that's for the moment, but to make an eternal impact forever. Right, right? That's the call of Jesus, that he's called you not just to live a life where you're just trying to be a nice and good person. The Bible tells us you can't do that anyway, so stop trying, right? Right? That your Christianity isn't just you just following rules and trying not to make God angry so God can bless you and be nice to you. But rather, that part of your Christianity, part of your walk with God is to be impactful and influential for good, right? Part of your walk with Jesus Christ isn't just to come to church, as we've talked about. It isn't just to hear messages, but it is to make a huge impact. And some of you need to know today, you have yet to hit your potential of influence. Some of you don't know this yet. Some of you, you've kind of maybe even just scratched the surface, but some of you don't know that you have the potential by the Almighty God, the creator of this universe, the one who makes the sun rise and the one who makes the sun fall, the one who makes the whole world go at the pace that it's going at, has put eternal influence in you. And what we want to do in this sermon series, and what Jesus is trying to do to these original followers, and to us, if you are a follower today, is to get it out of you, right? It's for you to say, that's right, I do have much to offer. I do have much to give into this world, right? It doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you have. It doesn't matter any of that. But all that it matters is if you look into your Heavenly Father and you say, you've given me much, therefore I'm going to do much, right? You've given me more and more to be influential for good. Because part of your Christianity, and I want to say this, part of our Christianity is allowing that Jesus to flow through every part of our lives. Allowing the work of Jesus to be a part of every area of our lives. And for us to know that that's more than just knowing Jesus, but it's about making Jesus known, right? Our Christianity is knowing Jesus, but also making him known. So we're going to be starting in Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking through this portion of Scripture. And then for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at other different areas in Acts. As I said before, Acts is how the church got started, right? Just so you guys know, nobody just showed up and said, let's just get together and talk about a book and a guy named Jesus. But rather, this has been something, or this has been a big part of history for 2,000 years. And I want to take a look at what are some of the fundamentals that they did, or that they had, as the church began to become the church that it is today. Now, I need you to understand this. The church isn't perfect. Neither are we striving for perfection. But what we want to do is to have more of a drive to follow the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, as much as possible. So where our book picks up at is Jesus has just risen. Jesus has just risen. And he's been around now for about 40 days, maybe even 50 days. He's just risen, and he's about to return to his rightful place that he's been at since the beginning of time, right? That he's been at forever and ever. He's about to return to glory. But before he does that, he has a conversation with his disciples. He has a conversation with the 11. It's not 12 anymore at the time, but he's having a conversation with the 11 disciples. And he says, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. If you can bring up on the screen verse 8. That's where we're going to be studying at mainly. Verse 8, it says this. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Catch this, friends. Jesus gives mission, and he gives identity. You notice that? He says this. He says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus is doing here. And this is what's fascinating, friends. I want you to watch this. Christianity started in a small pocket in Jerusalem. But now, 2,000 years ago, what Jesus promised and said has happened. He says it would go from Jerusalem, and it went outside of Jerusalem, now Judea, and then it's going to go out to Samaria. Those are areas outside of Jerusalem. Those are areas outside of just the Jews. Those are Gentile and Greek areas. And then Jesus says, to the ends of the earth. And we're sitting in that promise. Isn't that pretty cool? Jesus said, he says, this message of the good news is going to spread. But how is the message of the good news going to spread? Is it going to spread by Jesus himself? Yes, it is. Jesus is the main conductor in all this, right? Right? Jesus is the main agent. But also, Jesus says it's going to spread through those guys, right? That the message of the gospel is going to spread through these guys. It's this small sect of guys. But what started with just a few now is millions and millions of people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. I don't know about you. That's awesome. And here's the thing, friends. That mission Jesus gave the disciples, he gives to you today too. Because guess what? Christianity still needs to spread. Right? There are people who still haven't heard about Jesus. There are people, we're not just talking about in the different countries. I'm talking about people even on your street. People that you sit next to in your cubicle. People that you work out with when you're at Planet Fitness. Right? All of that, right? Jesus says that, listen, all the earth will hear about the fame and the name of Jesus. But then he says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. I bet you probably never heard that you are a witness. But you probably never heard that you are a witness. So what is a witness? Well, a witness, what we all can agree, is a spectator or someone that has seen or experienced something, right? For instance, my brother, witnessed a lot of my craziness when I was young. Therefore, he was a snitch and a witness. But, you know, he, right, literally could do nothing without him telling my parents. If there was a hole in the wall at the house, all my parents would do is they would just come to me and say, how did I get there? And you know me, I'm going to lie about it. I don't know. I just woke up. Like, you know, it's 4 o'clock, Javon. And then they'll walk to my brother and they'll say, hey, how did this get here? And then my brother says, Javon did it. And I was just, you know, couldn't get away with anything, right? Because the idea of witnessing is to tell what you've experienced. It's to tell what you have seen, right? And in the same way, in a Christian sense, that Jesus is trying to say that your life is meant for people to see and tell who God really is, right? Listen, we live in a world where all of our understanding of Jesus comes from TikTok. And next thing you know, everybody's got an idea of what God is supposed to be like here, while somebody else has a different understanding of who Jesus is over here, right? Right? Some people will say that Jesus is like this, right? And then somebody else comes around and contradicts it and says Jesus is like this. And so what Jesus is doing in this and in this particular passage and what he's trying to call out of each and every one of us is we are meant to witness to the true Jesus, right? But we are meant to witness to a true Jesus, not a Jesus that the world tries to portray, but a Jesus that is truly enough, right? That's the Jesus that we're called to witness about. So as a follower of Jesus, I need you to understand, you and I, we are witnesses. We're meant to witness how good God has been to us. We're meant to witness how gracious God has been to us. We're meant to witness how merciful God has been to us. We're meant to witness towards all of that. Our lives are pointing to something, right? If you ever think about it in that way, where our lives, the way we live, points to what we believe, right? The way we live, the way we act, or what we say and how we treat others is all directed towards what we believe, right? So if you believe God is good, well, then you're going to live in such a way that God is good. Am I right? If you believe God is kind, then you're going to live in such a way where God is kind. But if you think God is this guy in the sky ready to take you down every time you get it wrong, well, then you're going to live just like that, right? You're going to live in such a way where God's this spooky, scary guy ready to take you down, right? So that's the idea of being a witness for Jesus, living in such a way where people can see Jesus clear, right? Because some of us don't know, the most Jesus people will ever see is through you. Think about that. The most Jesus people will ever see will be through you, right? So what does that mean? We have a big responsibility upon each and every one of us, right? We have a big a responsibility on each and every one of us. Now, what it is to witness, another reason why Jesus calls us to witness is that as we see through the book of Acts, another reason why Jesus calls us to witness is because it grows our faith, right? Because what is a witness? It's an invitation to more of God, right? One of the ways, a lot of us are looking to grow our faith today, right? And initially what we do is, when we want to grow closer in our relationship with God, we'll say to ourselves, well, I need to read the Bible more, which is true. I will not tell you not to do that, right? You need to get in the scriptures. You need to soak it all in. You need to take a Greek class, learning Greek with Logan on Saturdays. You need to be in a group where you're learning theology, right? That's all true. Or sometimes we say to be closer in my relationship with God, I got to be around good people, which is true, right? Which is very true. Yes, you need to join a life group. Yes, you need to get a part of a serve opportunity. Yes, I'm never, ever going to tell you not to do that. But you want to know one way to grow in your faith is to let God use you today. You want to know one way of how you can grow closer and deeper in your relationship with God is that you don't do your normal daily activity, but rather you tell yourself, God, I want to be an impact, I want to be influential, and I want to do it all for you, right? That's how we grow in our faith. That's how we grow closer to God. When we just say, God, I'm not just going to let the norm of my Christianity go by, but rather I want to be the man or the woman on the front lines, ready to do the very work you want to do in my life, right? And believe me, friends, God's not waiting for you to get your life together to use you. No, friends, he will do that very thing right now, where you are, right? God's not sitting there saying, you know, once you stop sinning and stop cussing and stop doing this, well, then you can be used by me. No, God says this, I want to do the good work in your life now, right now. There are some of us, we haven't yet allowed the work of God to be at work in us, right? Right, we haven't said totally, God, yes. Because saying yes to God, yes, there's a work of salvation. There's a work of God renewing the heart and the mind. But God's not just changing your heart. He wants to change your calling. God's just not here to change your desires. He wants to change your purpose. God's just not here to change your mind and all that. But he also wants to change how you view yourself and how he's calling you to do, what he's calling you to do in this world today. And he's calling you to be a witness. Friends, can I remind you right now that some of these men that Jesus caused them to do much, that some of these men failed Jesus miserably. Right? Like, when I say failed Jesus, I mean dropped the ball. Right? One of those guys who Jesus is talking to in verse 8 about you will be my witnesses, one of those guys is the Apostle Peter, who failed Jesus 3 times. We talked about it last week, right? One of those guys is this guy named Thomas, who at first says, I don't believe. I don't believe that he rose. I don't believe that he did. I don't believe that he's alive. Right? But even in their brokenness, even in their failure, even in when they've gotten it wrong, and believe me, they will continue to get it wrong. Continue to read Acts. You'll see times where they get it wrong. But even in those areas, Jesus is saying, I'm still calling you to do some eternal work that I want you to do in your life. And the same thing goes for us today. right? You and I are people who are failing and failing. You and I are people who are inconsistent. But glory be to God, that is not based off how much we get it right. But thank God it's about how much Jesus got it right the one time for you. And then because of what he's done and because of what he did, he now says, now go out and show the world how good I am. Now go out and show the world that this message of the gospel is a message of hope. Go out and show the light in the dark, dark world. That's the message that Jesus is trying to get across. That's the idea that he wants each and every one of us to connect to more and more, right? These men, they're not educated. Friends, can I tell you, some of them, they can't even write at the time. These men are not educated. These men aren't anything special. They're just like you and I. But you know what the one thing they do that's different than us? They accepted what Jesus said about them. They accepted what Jesus said. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, right? To the ends of the earth. Because God doesn't just save you, he sends you. And he calls you to do much in this world today. You might tell yourself you have nothing much to offer, but God himself says, well, I say differently. You might tell yourself, I've made too much of a mess in my life. God says, well, thank God for Jesus Christ, right? You might tell yourself, well, man, I'm not very educated when it comes to the Bible. Can I tell you right now, these men really weren't very smart compared to the contemporaries around them either. But then next year, you know, Christianity grows. And it grows not because they're so smart, because they're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in them. Here's my prayer for you this week as we close. Here's my prayer for you this week. This is just a vision cast. Next week, every week, we're going to be building off what this means little by little. But here's my prayer this week, that you would pray and you would say, God, there's much that you want to do through me. And whatever it is, I say yes. That's my prayer for you this week. My prayer for you this week is that you say, you go before the Lord, and before you ask anything, you ask this one thing: God, give me the willingness to say yes to the work you're calling me to do. Now, there's going to be a sense of hesitation. Some of you are going to be saying to yourself, I don't know if I can do this. My life is a little busy. Family's picking up. Things are just a little bit chaotic. And I get all of that, right? And I'm not asking you to immerse yourself into a ministry over 1,000 hours of killing yourself. But what I am saying is that you are willing to say, God, whatever you want to do through me, I say yes to. Right? Whatever you are willing you want to do through me, I say yes to. Let me give you a couple ways of how we can witness this week. Are you ready? There's a couple things of how we can witness this week. Number one, witness to your family. Witness to your family. Let me ask you a question. Parents, do your kids know how you came to faith in Jesus? Do they know that? Have they caught the sense of how the Holy Spirit has touched your heart? Do your kids truly know this is why I follow Jesus? Right? Hey, aunts, uncles, right? Does your young people in the family, do they know why you believe what you believe, right? Because here's the one thing that I realize. Either we can help shape our family's faith or the world will shape it, right? Either we can be in a process of shaping what it looks like to follow Jesus, or the coach who has practice on Sunday morning will teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus. Right? 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 We have this responsibility, right? Let's witness to our families. Let's talk to our families about faith and trust in God. Listen, Jesus isn't asking for you to convert people. He's really good at doing that. He just asks you to witness to people, right? Jesus isn't asking you to sound like the smartest theologian in the room. You ever been asked a tough question about faith and you could not answer it? I remember when I was first became a pastor years ago, somebody comes up to me and says, "Can you tell me about hell?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, let's move on to the next question." Right? You know, right? Because we all feel this sense where we gotta sound smart. Jesus isn't asking for you to sound smart. He's asking for you to share your story. Because each and every one of us in this room today, you have a story, right? And last time that I heard, what moves people's hearts is not facts, but it's stories. What compels people to see the other side, to see the bigger picture, isn't when you give them facts, but when you give them your story. And you tell them, at one point in my life, this is where I was. At one point in my life, I was lonely. At one point in my life, this was my life. But then Jesus knocked on my door. And he came in and he made me new. This is what my life once looked like. But because of the power and the presence of Christ, this is now the reality. Number two, maybe we can do this. Witness at your job. Did you know statistically that you spend, because we live in the America, now over here in America, now if you live in like Switzerland and Amsterdam, you know they only work like 3 days a week over there. Did you know that? Yeah, I know, right? I wish to, we need to go over there. Y'all trying to go over there, Christ Church Amsterdam? Did you know that statistically you're going to spend more time at work than you will at home? Did you know that? You're going to spend more time at work than you will at home. That said, I get it, but that's just another opportunity for you to be a witness, right? How many of us, as soon as we get around the crowd, it's hard for the crowd to see who we, if we're truly witnesses, right? If we're truly who we profess to be, right? Because I'm the same way when sometimes I get around people who don't go to church or don't see life the way I do, I tend to look a little bit different than what I want to. Well, those are just yet another opportunity to witness to Jesus. Listen, I'm not asking you to bring your Bible that says go to 1 Corinthians. I'm not asking you to do that, but I am asking you. I think Christ is asking us to witness and to show people that Jesus is better than they ever could imagine. Number three, witness no matter the circumstances. Witness no matter the circumstances. Sometimes what speaks louder about faith isn't when you can speak about Jesus when things are easy, but when you can proclaim him even when life isn't easy. Even when you can proclaim him when life is hard. I read a story the other day about a young woman who was battling the regret of causing her own miscarriage. It was one of the most darkest stories I've ever read in my life. She had a miscarriage and she didn't know she was pregnant, and it was just a tough situation, and she talks about just the daunting emotions that came with that. But in the midst of all of that, she says, something told me that the best option isn't pity, but worship. She says, the best response isn't to feel sorry for myself, but to proclaim that Jesus is still good. And then through that, she talked about it and she put it all over her social media and whatnot. And then next year, you know, she had a mass following, and all these women started coming and talking about some of their own painful stories. And because of this woman being willing to be honest, but also being willing to worship in her pain, many people came to faith in Jesus. Why? because she chose to worship in her circumstances. What was she doing in that? She was witnessing about Jesus, right? Number four, witness to someone who has familiar struggles, right? Witness to someone who's got similar struggles, right? There are people in this church that are just like you, and they struggle with things just like you. And they have things going on in their lives that are hard just like you. And you know the one thing you can do? The one thing you can do at your job or in your home or wherever it may be is to tell them, I know what it's like. Some of us need to hear that, right? Some of us need to, I know what it's like to struggle in this way. I know what it's like to go through this. But let me tell you how I overcame. Number five, this is a hard one. You ready? Witness to someone who is difficult. You got any difficult people in your life? This means yes. This means yes. Are you sitting next to those? Right? Somebody's like, nope. Oh, hey, that's a good job, Mike. Good job. Nope. That's a good job. Good answer. Witness to someone who is, we all have people who are difficult, hard to love, right? We have people in our lives who are hard to love, right? The moment they open their mouth, you're ready to say something you don't want to say or you know you shouldn't say, right? We all have people in our lives that just don't listen and they keep doing the same stupid thing over and over. Sorry, at this point I'm venting. But we all have those people. But can I tell you that those are moments God can grow them, but also can grow you, right? Witness to someone who was difficult. Man, this is a great opportunity for our church that we become people who aren't just consumers, but then we become contributors. We go from just hearing to move to doing. And my prayer this week is one more time that you would say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm in. I'm saying yes to. Whatever the thing that you want to do in my life, whether I want to do it or not, the one answer is, I'm going to do it, and I want to do it today. Sounds good? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving us the ability to see what you are calling us to do. Now, Father, I pray that you would compel us to take that next step into the journey of more. That, Father, that you would compel us to take that next step into the journey of what you're calling us to do. That, Father, our faith wouldn't just be people that are just consumers, but rather we would go from being consumers to contributors. Help us to be participants of the greatness that you want to do in this world. Help us to be shakers and movers through the witnessing that you're calling us to do. I pray that this would not just be another message we hear, but something that we're compelled to do. So open up our hearts, open up our minds, give us the will to do. It's in your Son's perfect name, and so we pray. Amen.